Starting on page 132, we sort of left you in the middle of a chapter, at least according to these chapter divisions. As we like to say with the Bible, the chapter divisions aren't inspired. Of course, this whole thing isn't inspired. It's just a fine Christian allegory by a fine Christian man, John Bunyan. Now, we begin in... I wanted to leave as separate this account of Doubting Castle, the giant despair, and simply because the reading the previous week was so long, and secondly, because I wanted to give appropriate emphasis to this matter of the giant despair. And I think that it is something that is really well worth our consideration, because it represents something that happens in the life of Christians, maybe to every Christian, at some point where he is very discouraged. And we have records of the lives of well-known Christian leaders who have suffered from despair. Now today, there is a great teaching abroad about depression. And basically, they try to make it a medical condition. I suppose in some people, it could be. It is possible to have something wrong with your body that messes with your mind. But in most cases, I think that the answers are more found in the spirit than in the mind. And that's where Bunyan points in these in this section. So let's work our way through our sheet here, and we're just going to we'll answer the questions, and maybe we'll talk about certain points, and maybe there's some points in the text that we can highlight. I read it again, actually, this week. I found that I've gotten a little bit ahead of you. And as I'm up here talking about it, it's not fresh in my mind. So I read it again last night so that I'd have at least a clue about what I was talking about. So here we are. Bypath Meadow. On the left hand of the road, a meadow. Now, the way from the river that they had been staying at was what? Rough. And their feet? Tender. And so they found a stile by the way. And the stile... Now, What's a stile? Well, it's steps for getting over a fence. There's a fence along the way. They're on this rough path, the straight and narrow path, and they see this meadow next to the path. The meadow, obviously, a grassy field. It is attractive to them. It looks like an easier place for their feet. And the meadow. What else about the meadow? What does it appear to do? It goes straight with the path. So you're going right along with the path on the way. By the way, I don't have this here in this section, but why did they cross the fence and go to the other side? Yes, it looked more easy and more comfortable, but Christian persuaded Hopeful to go. Remember that? Now, before that, there had been a situation, and I forget what was it last time, where Hopeful had done something or was almost ready to faint or something, and Christian talked him out of it, right? But now here is Christian. He's the one who's talked Hopeful into making this bad decision. All right, now we'll talk more about that in a bit, but remember that thought. All right, now there was a man going ahead of them called Vain Confidence, and he told them it was the right path. All right, so what did they, by this man's name, what did they trust by leaving the way, taking the ease of Bypath Meadow?
In themselves.
All right, their own understanding. They were leaning under their own understanding. Their own sight. Yes, they're walking by sight, not by faith. That's right. All right, what does the ease of Bypath Meadow represent? Taking an easy way out of a bad situation? Debbie, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, how easy they thought to get off the right path.
All right.
How easy the wrong path may be.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tony.
The lukewarm Christian.
Lukewarm Christian, yes, okay. All right, Harry.
Times of no trials or small trials and tests, things going on.
Okay, times of no trials and tests, that's right. Well, there's something else about it. Yes, Marlene, go ahead.
from a fallen nature.
Yes. Okay. Self-righteousness. Alan.
I know that terminology didn't exist in Bunyan's day, but easy believism.
Okay. Easy believism. All right. Now, there's a couple of things to contrast here. The path is rough. Now, what would that represent in the Christian life? Well, my wife says the normal Christian life. Is that always the norm? No. Okay, but there are points in your Christian walk when it is rough. Okay? And then, but then on the other hand, you look over the fence and boy, you know, they're right along with the path. And I can just climb back over the fence later. Okay, I can take the easy route. Now, I do have an illustration of this. I was not allowed to indulge in the easy route, but I wanted to. Back when I was in seminary, I was a foreign student. My wife knows what I'm talking about immediately. I was a foreign student, and I had to take a full load in classwork, which meant 12 hours of seminary classes. And in order to afford it, I had to work full-time, 40 hours a week. And, of course, I was dating Debbie full-time also, so that was, you know, there was a lot of demands on my time. So my theory was that it would be wise, you know, good stewardship to get married before I finished. Then I could be a landed immigrant or whatever they call it. I could be a resident alien. That's what they call it. Okay, I could be a resident alien, and I could cut back my hours and not be taking so much classwork. And you know, we wouldn't have, you know, we'd be together all the time. We wouldn't have to be, you know, doing this dating business. And it just seemed so much easier to me. And I was playing the role of Christian. And my wife, however, played a stronger role than Hopeful did and said, "No way, Jose." And I had to wait until I graduated. And that I appreciate her willingness to stand up for that. That was good. It did get through a lot faster than my compatriots. I did my MDiv in 3.5 years, and some of them did 5, 6, 7. Some of them might still be there. I don't know. No, I think they've all graduated by now. All right, but the point is that we often look at the hard part of our Christian walk, the path that we're going on, and there are challenges and difficulties, and it may seem wiser to take a... I mean, it's not far off the path. It's not, you know, and we're still going right the same way. But it's just, you know, it's easier over there. Yes, Bob. Yeah, it's a con of Satan.
He knows his direction.
Yes.
I mean, he knows how parallel these paths can be.
Yes. Yes, that's right. There are parallel paths that can be very... I mean, it looks just right. We're going to see this again later on in the book, but this is one of these occasions. All right, now, what does Hopeful say as they find themselves in this difficulty? I would have spoken plainer, but what? You're older than I. Now, what does that mean? What does he mean by that? Okay, a Christian he sees as an elder, and I don't know that it's necessarily an elder in years, but especially an elder in what? In the knowledge of the Lord, in the Spirit, right? So Christian had been a Christian longer than Hopeful. And so he's thinking, well, he's more wise as a Christian, so maybe I have my doubts, but so he went along. All right, now Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man." Oh, sorry, I'm giving the answer. "But the end thereof are the ways of death." All right, and of course they did get into a great deal of trouble. Now, as this man vain confidence, it goes on ahead of them. The night falls. You know the story, and he falls into a pit, which he did not see. They only hear the thud, basically, and the groans. And so he is to be no more. Now, what was the other thing that they discovered as they realize they have made a serious error? Night has fallen. They think they need to go back. What do they discover? You're going a little ahead of me. Before that, what do they discover about their attempts to get back? That's right. It's harder to get back into the way than it was to get out of the way. All right, so a little warning here. If, as a Christian, you may think, well, that way, it won't be too hard to get back. But the taking the way of ease at a rough spot is often disastrous and very hard to get out of. Marlene.
Well, the first step is the beginning of compromise.
Right.
And once you compromise something you believe in.
Yes, yeah. You're in trouble. That's right. The first step is the step of compromise, Marlene says, and it's a very dangerous step. Harry.
It's easier to slide down the slope than climb up.
It certainly is. It's easier to slide down the slope than climb up it. That's right. Okay. And often, by the way, in our own walk, we get into a situation if we start taking the way of ease. And by the way, well, I'll come back to this point. But if we start taking the way of ease, we may get ourselves into a situation that it's impossible to get out of. Right, get yourself into your life is forever altered. Now they used to teach a thing at school. You marry the wrong person and you sort of get God's second best and so on. And I don't believe that's the way it is. But the thing is that you can get yourself into a pickle where there are things that you can never do again for the Lord. You can get to a place where you're disqualified from. For example, if a young man is training for the ministry. He can get himself to a place where no one would want him as a pastor. Now, he may be a Christian, he may be able to serve in a church, he may be able to be a part of a church, but never again. So these are very serious things. Now, one other thing I wanted to say about this. The way of ease, does that mean that every time something is easy to do, it's wrong? Okay, no, obviously not. But the point was that at this point, the way was hard. Okay? So there are points at which, obviously, when they were walking down there by the river, it was a time of refreshment and a time of ease, and the way went right through that, right? So it's not that the whole way, it's not that the Christian life, all right, you become a Christian, all right, now, watch out. You're in for it now. It's just difficulty after difficulty. That's not the picture. But there are points at which, in the Christian life, you are confronted with difficulty. And so, the flesh is always wanting to make it easier somehow. And when we're confronted with the difficulty, we have to say, now, is this the way that the Lord has called me? Has He called me to walk through this valley? Or up this hill? And if He has, then let's stay on the path. All right, and quite often there are things there was a girl who went to Sunday school, to our Sunday school, and many of her relatives and stuff came. We would bring them in from the community around the community, and later on we grew up. I don't know that she ever had a Christian testimony or not, but she married a guy from our town, and he was working for, seems like it was AGT. Or something like that, Alberta government telephones. But anyway, the fellow had an accident at work. He was totally paralyzed from the neck down. Couldn't move, barely communicate. Really serious problem. Well, this woman divorced him. And left him. And so much for the vows. Well, I don't know if she professed to be a believer, but if you can be in a situation like that, and God gives you a very hard path. The way of faith is, all right, Lord, this is the path you've put me in, and I'm committed to you, and for your glory, I'll live this out, no matter how hard it is. All right, so that's the. We're getting off into preaching here, so. All right, Doubting Castle. There was a castle called Doubting Castle, owned by the giant. Despair, what a name. Christian had a double sorrow because... Okay, he knew he had led hopeful there. Anybody put a different answer? That's basically it. I put, 'twas through his unadvised counsel that they were brought into this distress. Okay? Not only was the sorrow of being in the distress, but that he brought them into the distress. Now, doubt and despair are often the spiritual consequence of sin. What sins can lead to these consequences? And by this I mean just What kind of sins? This is not a right or wrong answer type question. What kind of sins can lead into doubt and despair in your Christian walk? Anybody have some suggestions?
Not believing and trusting God.
Okay, not believing and trusting in God in the way. All right.
An important one to me would be being surrounded by non-Christian so-called friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so not being surrounded by non-Christian friends without Christian fellowship would be and sort of deliberately putting yourself there, I guess. Yes, Jan.
Complacency.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have something that Debbie?
I put just seeking an easier way, which differs only slightly from the two right.
Okay, an easier way that differs only slightly, Bob.
What you preached this morning about the religious man comes to mind.
Yeah.
Being a religious man.
Yeah. Yeah, being confident in being a religious man is instead of being confident in Christ. Yeah. All right, Harry, you had your hand up, I think.
Pride.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, pride will get you there. Pow! Right. What was that brick wall? Anyway. Okay. Anybody else have some comments there? Okay. On the advice of who? His wife. What was her name, though? Diffidence. What a name. You know, some of these names, I'm still waiting for somebody in our church to name a little baby Mahershal Hashbaz. It's a Bible name, you know, and also Zipporah is one I like for girls. But so far, nobody has taken me up on that. Grandchildren are coming. Yes, that's right. We can always advise. All right. Now, the giant beat them with a grievous crab tree what? Cudgel. Okay, which is a club. Okay, and Christian suggests suicide, but Hopeful says that would be murder. All right, and Diffidence gives the advice: show them the what? Bones and skulls of those that thou hast already dispatched. All right, now they're a lovely couple, aren't they? Yes. Diffidence. Define diffidence. I don't have that in my notes. All right. Well, diffidence. To me, that means that somebody who has no care for spiritual things. There's no comfort here in despair. But I'm not sure what else that would mean. Jane? Indifference is what I think. I should have looked that up. That's a good point. Maybe I'll have to look that up for next time. Okay? Because I don't have... Yeah, to me it's sort of like indifference, but I might be wrong on that. Okay, somebody who has no care. But anyway, that's a good point. We need to look that up. So next week, stay tuned. We'll bring you back diffidence. Okay? Apathetic. Yeah, could be. Seems to me. Something like that. Well, but see, if you've got people around you who don't care, they don't care about your soul, you know, so just kill yourself. You know? See? So I sort of get that impression, but we'll have to look that up to be accurate. Okay? Now, the captivity in Doubting Castle. Is it a place? Maybe we should read this next section. Let's read the next section, the notes. Escape, what a fool, quoth he, am I. I have a key in my bosom called promise. All right. What activity brought to mind Christian's key?
Prayer.
Okay, now, did they need to be in this castle? Okay, no, why not? If they hadn't got off the path. No, after they've gotten off the path, did they need to stay in this castle? No, because they had the key. What is the key? Well, the promise, but what promise? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's all kinds of promises in the Word of God. That's what it represents, right? The Word of God. All right, so here we are. Now, they were in the prison for, let's see, they came in on what day of the week? Do you remember? Saturday's mentioned. That's not when they came in. It says from Wednesday till Saturday. All right, and they were left without what? Bread and water. They weren't given anything to eat. Okay, so they're really in a bad way. And then comes the despair, and he beats them with a cudgel. And they come to the point where they are, the only thing they can do is what? Breathe. That's all they can do. Okay, so what does that represent in somebody's life? That whole picture. Okay, they're in captivity by despair. They're beaten within an inch of their life. They have nothing to eat. Okay, somebody who's overwhelmed. Yeah, they think, you know, everything is black. Yes, Jane.
At the end of your rope?
You're at the end of your rope. You're not even tying a knot anymore. It is past that. So they are absolutely, and especially Christian, is giving up. He's thinking suicide. Okay, so this is the picture. And yet all that time, what did he have with him? The key, the promise of God. All that time he had the promise of God. And see, this is where Bunyan is pointing to the spiritual nature of the problem and of his depression. It's not physical in this case. And I think in most cases where people suffer from depression, it is a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. There may, as we say, there may be some who have a physical, you know, when you're sick, you feel terrible. So we will make that concession. But most of the time, unless there's a physical reason, it is a spiritual problem. Okay? And there is a promise here. And so the life of faith acts on what? The promise. Okay? And now I do have a note here. There's a word that's used on page 141 of our edition. Okay? I noticed that it sort of jumped out at me as I read it. Okay? And he puts it in the words of Christian. And, now, my note is that word would not have been considered profane in his day, but has become so in our day. All right. So meanings and uses change, and as they do, Christians should be wise and refrain from that which is profane. So since you have seen this word in Pilgrim's Progress, don't think you should use it out in public. All right. There are even words in the King James Version that you shouldn't use in public. Okay. That's true. Yes, like donkey. But there's another one that talks about a male child. Describes a male child a couple of places in the Old Testament. All right? And so we refrain from that. You'll have to search that out in your own Bible reading. All right? Okay, so it's just because words change. Okay? And things that were not profane at one time can become profane. Almost no one who is holy and righteous wants to use the word gay today, right? Because it is means something far different. You know.
We have a song that we
yes.
We
yeah.
Gallery,
yes. Yes. Yes, but how happy you were, yes, as a Christian. Well, we don't use that anymore. Okay? That's just the way it is, right? Words change. Okay? So anyway, all right, let's go on here. They consented now. They've gotten out of the prison, out of the dungeon. They've gotten back to the way, to the path, the stile where they went over. And so they consented there to erect what? A pillar. And we have a quote here. This is from the lady who wrote the study guide I'm using as a bit of a guide here. Though the pilgrims had sinned greatly in leaning to their own understanding, God had graciously taught them some valuable lessons from this bitter experience. They had learned never to depart from God's way in anything that He desired them to go through, to value the light of God's countenance and to distrust themselves more thoroughly. They had been taught the dreadful evil of sin and sin's consequences. They had seen their weakness and Christ's strength, and that the only way of deliverance was by casting themselves totally on Christ. All right. Okay, delectable mountains. They came to the delectable mountains. The word means delightful or pleasing. Various interpretations have been given for these mountains. Just a place of rest, the local church, the ministry of the word by godly pastors. Maureen Bradley, this lady I mentioned, suggests perhaps Sabbath rest in keeping with the Puritan idea that the Sabbath was a market day for the soul. If one considers Sunday to be a day set aside for instruction in Sunday school, for sitting under the preaching of godly ministers, and for meditation on Scripture and prayer, how would the delectable mountains remind you of a market day for the soul? All right. So you'll have various answers to this. But in this picture that we've seen here, in the delectable mountains, how would that remind you of a market day for the soul? Anything that you'd like to mention? Things that they gained? Pardon me?
Nourishment.
Nourishment. Okay, they gained nourishment. All right. What else?
Wisdom.
Okay, they are taught to discern certain things. What else were they given? Okay, they sang. All right. What else? Anything else, Marlene?
Well, never forget that the Lord said He'd never leave us.
Yes. Okay, the Lord would never leave them. All right, they got lessons, Jan.
Relief.
Okay. All right, Harry.
Peace
and joy. All right. What else?
Fellowship.
Okay. Yes. With God's saints. All right. Anything else? There's one thing that I'm thinking of. Remember when they mentioned, they showed them the ones who were wandering amongst the tombs, who had had their eyes put out by who? Giant despair. And what happened to them, to Christian and hopeful, when they saw this? Their hearts were broken and their eyes gushed with tears, it says. Now, what did they get there? They got conviction. You know, when you set time aside and you hear God's Word preached, sometimes you get conviction. Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. Bob?
And going back to the door. It's an important point for me. There are warnings.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, they raised the pillar as a warning, and other Christians were warned by it. It says there that many people didn't go over that stile because of their warning. Okay, Cam, did you have your okay? All right, Debbie.
Yeah, that reminds me of what Bob said, that when we do mess up, as it were, and get off the path, like we subsequently or periodically all do.
Yes.
Getting back, we should be desirous that we help others understand.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know, it's not like we covered up and, oh, no, it never happened. I didn't ever do that.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. No, and it's not like also that we, you know, make a movie of it and want to rehearse it all the time.
Right.
But at the same time, we want to, when given the opportunity, warn others, don't do like I did.
Right, that's right. That's right. You use these experiences to be a warning for others. All right, they were asked three questions of the shepherds. What were they? Whence came you?
How got you into the way?
By what means have you so persevered therein? Persevered. By what means have you persevered therein? Now, what are they asking here? What kind of a greeting is this, basically? They're asking for their testimony. And you notice there's a little bit of hesitancy by the shepherds. In other words, you know, are you a real pilgrim or not? Are you somebody we really want to let into this company or not? So it's almost like, in that sense, it's like the local church, where there should be some examination of those who come in order to prove their testimony. Now, obviously that's not a foolproof thing, but there is some, there should be some kind of watchfulness in opening even the place of our worship. You know, we have a public service here that anybody can walk in. Okay, but in terms of joining in the work and becoming a part of this assembly and so on and so on, there needs to be some examination of testimony so that there is, before you give your full, you know, sort of right hand of fellowship to that person. And then it says, few of them that begin to come hither do show their face on these mountains. I guess that's part of their examination. They want to make sure that these are... I don't remember that phrase exactly. I think that's one I just copied from the other study that I was using. Okay? Pardon me? Rushmore. You thought about Rushmore. Well, that's true. But there are very few I don't think he's talking about Mount Rushmore. Yes.
People may have come, but they didn't go on.
They didn't go on, that's right.
So the shepherds are wanting to say, are you, you know, they're yeah. trying to discern whether or not these guys are going to be one.
Yeah, which one are you going to be like? Are you going to be, yeah, are you really going to make it to the celestial city, or are you somebody that's going to, yeah, false professor, Harry?
Well, I just, as a shepherd, I've been kind of saying those few of them to come get the leadership.
Yeah.
Over a flock.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, I'll have to. That's one I guess I need to read my study guide as well as my book beforehand, so I know what I'm asking.
Well, the
yeah, that's right. Few there be that find it. That's right. Okay, what are the names of the shepherds?
Knowledge,
experience, watchful, and sincere. Okay, and see, these are all qualities, aren't they? So within the leader, and these are leaders of sheep, so these would be pastors. Clearly. And they have, these are qualities they need to have. Knowledge, experience, watchfulness, and sincerity. Alright? So that's, alright, so they show them some wonders. Shall we show these pilgrims some wonders? A hill called what? Error. And it's hearkening to who? Hymenaeus and Philetus. Okay, from 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18. What causes Christians to fall into error?
Not knowing the word.
Not knowing the word?
False doctrine.
False doctrine. Okay. Misinterpretation. I put by listening to worldly talk instead of faithful Bible doctrine. Basically the same as what you're saying. Now, they show them also another mountain called?
Caution.
Men wandering among the tombs because they were captured by giant despair. And apparently these are so in despair that they never get out of the despairing place. Never get out of the tombs. How does a thoughtful Christian make use of caution? The mount of caution. Okay, do not wander out of the way of understanding. That's true, but there's something else that I want you to see. Heed the caution. Well, something else. Okay, by observing the error of others. Okay, the caution. You see what somebody else has done and they've messed up. Beware, be cautious. Okay, so that's the picture. Another place in a bottom where was a door that was a byway to hell. All right. Types of people who seem to be believers make a show of pilgrimage and yet end up in hell, and their biblical parallels. Okay, there are such as what?
Esau.
Such as Esau, who did what?
Sell
their birthright. They sell their birthright. There's a more temporal thing that is more meaningful to them than their birthright. Okay, such as sell what?
Sell their master
as
Judas.
All right, what's the next one? Such as blaspheme the gospel with Alexander. All right. Such as lie and dissemble as Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, so he's very much saying that these are evidences of people who have given up their faith by their wicked deeds and end up in hell. Of course, there's a big debate on some of these characters, whether or not they were eternally lost. They certainly lost the blessings of God in this life. Okay? But this isn't the Bible. This is Bunyan, okay? We're talking about Bunyan here. And there is a lesson to be learned from these biblical examples. Caution. Right? Error. There is error. Watch out for it. Watch out. Be cautious. Alright? And then there was a high hill called Clear. And they looked through a perspective glass, a viewing device like a telescope or binoculars. Though Christian and hopeful can only see through the glass darkly, partly because of their own weakness, what does the vision of celestial glory give them? Pardon? Well, they see the gate, a bit of the gate, and a bit of what? A glimpse of glory, yes. All right, and that, but spiritually, what does that give them? Hope, okay. Anything else?
Confidence.
Okay, motivation. joy. All right, so there is that whole, and that's another thing that on the Sabbath day we should have a glimpse of glory, a hope of heaven, to make it to the end. All right, so this is our section, the delectable, the mountains and giant despair. We'll be catching up. In the end of the chapter, there are some warnings and some gifts that are given to them that will play in their next adventures as they go on their way. And we'll find them getting chastened once again, right, in the next section. Marlene, any comments here? Marlene, go ahead.
Well, that one where it says shorter things on these mountains, Pilgrim has a path, one set up down, Carrie. Mm-hmm. Like, we think that, they're like a mountain.
Right. Okay, well, that's a possibility. I'll have to look at the context and make sure I know what I'm talking about to answer that one. Yes, yeah, that's true. Okay, you got to be careful with your hands while you put them because I'll think you're going to say something. All right, get your hands behind your back. Okay, all right, anybody else have any comments or questions at the end here of this particular Jan? Yes.
Going in the wrong way.
Yes.
There's a wonderful verse in, I think it's Proverbs, where the king is talking to his son. He says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes you to go to error."
Yes. That's right. That's a good verse. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes you to err." That's right. That's right.
So it's like a very conscious, deliberate.
Yeah. It is deliberate. You do have to make up your mind to hear the truth and to turn away from error. And so many people today seem to have totally ignored that kind of advice. All right, let's go ahead and close with prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today, considering these lessons about the giant despair and also from the delectable mountains. We pray that these word pictures might be instructive to our souls, and that we would be faithful pilgrims ourselves in the way that you have called us to. We pray for your blessing now on each life here. Help us to walk with you in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.